Allison Yunfei-Jiang, welcome to Sunday Night at the TSO.
Thank you for having me.
Now, as you are a first-time guest with us, we have five get-to-know-you questions. Are you ready?
Yes.
Pizza or pasta?
Pizza.
Really? No, no-brainer for you?
Yeah.
Some people really struggle and they say it's not a fair question.
Pizza.
Okay. Favorite non-classical, non-orchestral song and why?
Yeah, this is a tough question. And I think for the moment, like for now, this particular song by a Japanese, not heavy metal, but like progressive visual K metal band called X Japan. So this particular song called Endless Rain.
Okay, what about it?
It's actually very symphonic. It's quite an emotional ride, but it's beautifully done. It's got a lot of heavy metal influence, but also just a lot of orchestral stuff and melodic and beautiful. So,
what's your favorite instrument in the orchestra?
That's also a really tough question. And I don't want to make my musician friends feel bad. Like, I love them all. But right now, it's French horn.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful instrument.
Yeah, and it can do so much. It's versatile. The color is beautiful. In terms of the color, it can do so much. And it also fills the spectrum. It's so helpful for an orchestral composer.
Do you find that you're leaning on it a lot these days when you write? I'm curious.
For sure. Yeah, it's so useful. The thing is, it doesn't necessarily aggressively pop out in your face. Like, you know, for example, like it's not trumpet or even trombone, but it just blends really well. But when you need a moment, it can really shine too. And also, you know, it's with the mutes and everything, it's got great colors. So
that's true. That's a really good point. What's your dream travel destination?
For now, Taiwan.
Okay. And your favorite area in Toronto and why?
I think my favorite area is Hillcrest Village in North York, because that's where I come from and it's really beautiful and great suburban area. It's got everything: convenient, safe, beautiful, peaceful. Yeah, I love it.
Tell us a bit about your musical background. How did you get going in music?
Okay, yeah. So I grew up playing the piano, but as a hobby. So I grew up in China. I spent most of my teenage years and childhood in China. I never thought I would become a music person. I was always constantly hustling in the crazy Asian school system and, you know, like acing through a million exam papers on math or whatever.
So very academically focused.
Right. Yeah. But then I would have literally 1 hour, sometimes half an hour of piano time just set aside for myself every single day. And I could just jam whatever or learn some Bach and Mozart. And that was it. That was till like when I moved to Canada, when I was in middle school, like I think 14, 15 at the time. Then I was like, oh, so apparently music is something that I could do more. But I didn't necessarily think about doing music full time. I just got into the RCM system myself and kept playing the music.
So that's the Royal Conservatory of
Music. Right, right.
Yeah.
And, you know, and just did all the exams, got my ARCT, and then I went to university and I went into like a general arts and science, like mathematical sciences field. But somehow I just felt that I really needed music to be more of a full-time thing. So I started taking more lessons, and specifically composition lessons at like, I think I was 18. And previously it was mostly just piano.
And even you moved through that ARCT pretty quickly.
Yeah.
I
was quite...
Because that's like 10, for people to know, that's 10 grades plus than the ARCT.
Yeah,
so that's like 11 stages.
Yeah, so I did like night school, whatever. Like I did everything I could as a teenager just to ace through everything, like everything, literally. And and that was also my first time writing notes down on paper. And knowing how music works.
Right, because you had to take all the theory classes.
Right, right. And I was like, you know, actually, this is really interesting. Like, I started really getting interested not just about playing the piano, the notes, but also was just starting to looking at music on a deeper level.
Right, the architecture of it, right, the construction,
like, you know,
of
it. Right, how it works and stuff. You know, that just started the whole thing. Then I somehow started taking composition lessons. And I really liked this feeling of being able to create something of my own. Then I just gave it a shot and somehow, very luckily, got accepted to music schools in New York. So I spent my undergrad training at Manhattan School of Music in New York in music composition. But then I would still, like, I always consider myself just as a musicer, not just a composer. So I don't compose full time. Like, I still play the piano. When I got to New York, I was still just like part-time pianist. I was playing the piano. I did accompaniment and did some conducting training that too. Then somehow, you know, got into grad school, got to Chicago, did research and started just learning more about how music works. And composing has always been like a thing. And so I would say composer for me is one of the many identities as a music person. Then I finished my doctorate, then I saw this opening at the TS. I was like, whoa, what the hell, I'll give it a shot.
For the, to be the affiliate composer.
Right, and then somehow landed the job, and here I am.
I like how somehow I ended up in
this great music school.
Because
I never planned for any of this. Like, if you told the teenage Allison that, oh, you know what, like, you would be like, finishing your doctorate in the music, like, what, right? And then somehow I started getting commissions. Like, you got you would start getting paid to write music, and then not just music, but orchestral music, and then somehow landed this, like, job in the Symphony Orchestra Centennial season. I was like, what the heck?
I have a feeling that somehow has to do with being very gifted and working very hard, but...
definitely, like, rough moment. I mean, obviously, as musicians, we just have to have that mindset. But then, just also somehow, like, I never really planned. Like,
right. I love this. This is amazing. It's amazing. You love the material, you love the music, you love creating music.
Right. And also just enjoy looking at music and understanding it, you know? So, like, even just teaching young, like, a beginner piano student, that gives me a lot of joy. Like, an equal amount of joy. Or even maybe slightly more joy. I shouldn't be saying this. But, you know, it's like, it gives me so much fulfillment just to be able to help beginner piano student to be able to play a note on the piano.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I just have to say, as an aside, when you were talking about doing the ARCT at the Royal Conservatory of Music, people should know that it's not just learning your instrument. You have to take all these theory classes and history classes. There's a lot involved. I know, because I went through that system.
Yeah,
I got to say, for myself and most of my...
It was rough.
Most of my peers at the time, like, doing those theory classes... They did not make us love, get curious about the construction of music. It was like something we had to get through to get the degree, and we just wanted to practice our instruments.
Right,
so I think it's really amazing that you went through that, and that was a totally different window for you.
No, I think it helped me in a way. Like, something like analysis, for example, it did allow me to be able to, you know, say, look at a Beethoven sonata. Now, right now, like, even so for composing, like, composing for a piece, you know, thinking about the form and materials, and, you know, I think it's all connected.
Well, it's kind of like engineering.
Exactly. It totally is.
So let's talk about your role as affiliate composer at the TSO. What is this role? What does that look like?
So with this role, in particular, I think my main obligation is to compose one work for the orchestra per concert season. And they do it in a kind of like progressive apprentice situation. So, like, first year I get to do a smaller scale piece, a smaller orchestral opener of 8 minutes. Then now in my second year I get to do a bigger one, which exceeds 10 minutes. And this time they're not just doing it in Roy Thomson Hall, they're also bringing the piece on tour with them to Ottawa, which is amazing. So I would say the composing part which is a huge privilege for me as an emerging and young composer. So the main obligation is to really just focus on writing works, composing for the organization. And besides that, I'm involved in the new music planning a little bit. Like, I don't necessarily decide, but I do get to put in my opinions and listen to other people's input and just kind of see how programming works in terms of new music, especially, and just get an insight of how works are getting programmed, how things are getting paired in certain ways. And there's so many factors that have to be considered, and things are constantly like shifting. So it's really fascinating for me to be able to witness just how much work gets involved in putting together a season's brochure, like the planning, and which really does help me appreciate the industry, like the amount of dedication that arts administration workers and arts workers and musicians put into this whole planning process. And also I just, I get to sitting on rehearsals, which for me is a huge treat. Whenever there's new music going on, I usually would sit somewhere in the hall. Sometimes I just hide somewhere, and it's like, you know, like, and listen to the acoustics and read some scores there. And the library, too, which is very important.
It's a huge library.
It's a huge, huge library. It's a great place for composers to hide.
Why do you want to hide?
Well, no, I think composers are just couch potatoes and who like hermit. And,
okay. And,
yeah. Well, but no, but the library is amazing. It's also super busy, like really, really busy. So it's also quite interesting to see like, how in constant business the whole library is, and having my materials being checked by the library and working with the librarians, that was a very interesting, but also like a great experience for me.
Is it almost like another level of proofreading?
Yeah,
because they're really scrutinizing. They're having to put all the markings in
exactly.
For the players.
Exactly, and I can imagine, right? Because they need to make sure that everything is really, really good.
Like readable.
Like really readable, just totally clear, nothing. Sometimes in particular with new music, there may be stuff that's outside of traditional notation. It's great for me to learn as a composer, like, you know, working in particular with a symphony orchestra, what are they expecting from a new music composer? Because they're not a new music ensemble. But of course, they're so good. They're able to play everything. But, you know, because of the way the orchestra is run, they need efficiency. They mm-hmm. need to have that accuracy.
Right. So, there isn't time to stop rehearsals and figure out if there's a mistake in the parts.
No,
it has to
not
be just there
just,
ready to go.
Yeah. So it's very intense. And so I'm just like, oh, wow. Like, for me to go through this once per season, that's already pretty intense. Like, I don't know how they do that full time in the library. Like, I have a lot of respect for the librarian.
It's another passion.
Yeah. It's another passion.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Now, tell us about this upcoming premiere called Illumination.
Yes. So this work is called Illumination, and it's a work of around 11 minutes for a full orchestra. The inspiration for the piece just came from a four-line like poetry, but it's called Gatha, but like four verses, I guess, from the Diamond Sutra of Buddhism. So I'm not religious myself, but I grew up in a culturally Buddhist family, and I'm also a quite philosophical person. So I was reading just the Diamond Sutra, and I just came across the four lines, and I was just very inspired by the imagery of lights in this particular excerpt. You know, a shooting star, a clouding of the sight, a lamp, an illusion, a drop of dew, a bubble, a dream, a lightning flash, a thundercloud, and this is the way one should see the conditioned. So I was really inspired by this idea of impermanence and transformation. I've always drawn like parallels between transformation and impermanence and like human state, especially as an immigrant. Like, I just see how I change, my music changes, and my identity also changes through art making. So I was just really struck by this little excerpt, and especially the imagery of light in different forms. I wasn't necessarily trying to portray this particular imagery of light, but I used some delicate sounds to maybe portray the impression of the dew and the stars. And I think also in particular with this piece, I was playing around with the idea of transformation from lines to textures, so to planes and to rhythms. So in the piece, there's a lot of transformations.
So you mean lines as in kind of melodies?
As in kind of melodies, but then melodies could morph into more like just textural, like ligati, mm-hmm. you know, like micropolyphony, that kind of stuff. So, you know, starting out with lines, but really just then morphing into more just general textures. And with orchestral colors, you know, with the same harmonies and same lines, you could really play around with colors. So then, and then the horns, like, yes, I
love the horn.
The horns, right. So, and then I was also playing around with materials. So there were like rhythmic, like purely rhythmic materials that morphed into melodic materials. And, but then how do I make them get out? And there were like these moments of just constant change throughout the piece. So, yeah, that's the idea of the piece.
Oh, it sounds fascinating.
Fascinating.
I'm curious, you know, when there are so many these days in our time sonic avenues for music creation, what draws you to the good old symphony orchestra?
I think, first of all, I'm just an old school person, or I should say, first of all, I think it has to do with my upbringing a little bit. I grew up playing the piano. I never really had much access to a lot of recordings, to be honest. Like, it was just piano classical music. But somehow, besides classical, just like piano music, the only music I had access to in terms of recordings was Chinese traditional opera, Chinese folk music, and then just classical symphony somehow in the household. And then very luckily, when I was in China, I did have the privilege to study with a pianist who at the time was working with the provincial symphony orchestra as a pianist, you know, like the pianist in the orchestra, not a soloist,
right.
But the pianist in the orchestra. So it was fascinating because sometimes, like, I remember having the opportunities to just hang out at her workplace and be around orchestral musicians and just really fell in love with this communal feeling and the colors in particular. And then I had the opportunity to play alongside my teacher at the time and did a bit of like a youth symphony thing, but as a pianist, like, you know, so I was just like playing as a pianist as part of the symphony orchestra. And then somehow I came to Canada, and throughout my teenage years, I was always a concert goer, and I would always go to TSO concerts. I loved the symphony orchestra myself. So I'm drawn to different art forms of creation. Like, you know, for example, right now I'm also working on a purely electronic piece, and I'm also working on a piano solo piece for friend and collaborator. But I think the symphony orchestra is just so different. It's such a, it's a machine. It is what it is. You know, it's fast, it's efficient the way it works, but it's amazing that when this huge group of people come together and play something, it's like you witness a miracle happening in front of your eyes, and that moment just cannot be duplicated.
So you're in your second year of what is a two-year position as affiliate composer. Do you know what you're going to get up to when this is done?
I think yes, and I think I'm already doing it. I think the answer is just to do something with music. And so right now, besides working with the TSO, I'm also a teacher. I teach privately, and I teach anything that I can teach. And I teach everyone that I'm able to take on, you know. So I teach from adult students to young kids. And I teach piano, I teach music theory and composition. And that's actually a really big part of my life right now, besides TSO. And it's very rewarding. And it's, I would say it's equally rewarding as composing for, you know, an amazing organization like TSO. So I think it's just a continuation of whatever I've been doing so far and enjoying life too.
Allison, it's been great to meet you, and thank you so much for taking the time to stop by, and best of luck with the premiere of Illumination.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.